Seven people have been rescued, but 14 remains missing Tuesday morning after Egyptian authorities flooded a tunnel across the Egyptian borders with no warning. The tunnel runs between Gaza and the Egyptian Sinai Peninsula and is one of a number of such tunnels that serves as a lifeline for the besieged Palestinian population of the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, Israeli Navy ships opened fire on Tuesday morning on a number of Palestinian fishing boats close to Gaza City shore, causing damage but no injuries. The fishers were only 4 nautical miles away from shore in a Sudanese area northwest of Gaza City, local sources reported. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, December 8, 2015 News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
You're listening to the KVU Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jared Dantzler. The producer is Doug McVeigh. Our engineer is Sequoina Wright. The KVU Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Jared Dantzler, coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Paul Rowland hosts Wednesday Talk Radio, news and commentary on local, national, and international issues. At 9, on Political Perspectives, host Doug McVeigh interviews writer, teacher, and filmmaker Lisa Rain about Aaron Schwartz, Edward Snowden, digital privacy, and electronic freedom. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, host Glenn Anderson talks bees and beekeeping with Bill Catherall and Tim Wessels. It's the fourth annual beekeeping edition of The Dirt Bag. Have a bee-related question? Call in and get it answered. Thank you so much to KBOO members for all your generous support in our December membership drive. It's not too late to become a member or increase your current membership and have it doubled. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
Good night, Jared.
Good night, Nicole.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The Portland police will go on trial tomorrow in a lawsuit filed by a Native American resident of Northeast Portland who says she was racially profiled and brutalized by police 3 years ago. Lisa Haynes was on her way to volunteer with Free Geek, an organization which builds computers for nonprofit groups, when she was stopped by police. When she asserted her constitutional right to not talk to police, she was violently searched, brutalized, and arrested. Multiple complaints filed by Haynes exonerated the officers of any wrongdoing. Now she's decided to take the next step and has filed a lawsuit. Supporters are asked to go to the U.S. District Court at 1000 Southwest 3rd Avenue at 9 a.m. tomorrow in room 14B. And now let's go to audio regarding Lisa Haynes.
I wonder if you could just first start by telling us about the incident that took place 3 years ago that you are now suing about.
Hi. Yes. On February the 17th of 2012, I was headed on 72nd bus to Foster and 82nd to transfer to bus 14 to volunteer at Free Geek that day. It was raining that day, so I had on a black coat and a black and white backpack that day. And I noticed as I was checking my bus stop that it came in 14 minutes. And I walked over up under the ATM of the Wells Fargo to stand out of the rain. And I noticed that there was a cop car that pulled up. They made a U-turn in the middle of the street and pulled up into the Wells Fargo Bank parking lot. I seen them get out and started walking towards me really fast. And I was just standing there drinking my coffee. And I kept looking at the time, you know, when my bus was coming because I didn't want to miss it. And so they approached me. It was an older, white, seasoned officer and a younger officer. It looked like he was in training. They stopped me and asked me questions like, where was I coming from, my name, and where was I going? I stated to them, I'm exercising my Fifth Amendment right, and they ignored me, and they said, shut the fuck up, you have no fucking right, you black bitch. That's what they said to me. And so as they did that, I was nervous, I was scared, I didn't know what to do. You know, I told them, I said, I don't have to give you my name, I don't have to show you my ID, because they did ask me for my ID as well, and I refused to give it to them. So I'm exercising my constitutional rights, and I don't give you that permission to search me. And he said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And so I reached down in my pocket and grabbed my phone and called my son. I got my son on the phone, and I said, son, I said, the police are down here harassing me, and I'm scared, and they're violating me. And I was exercising my constitutional right, and I'm scared, and I don't know what to do. He said, well, Mom, grab your backpack if they didn't say you were detained or under arrest. And so I grabbed my, I reached for my backpack on the ground, and I attempted to walk away. And so that's when they grabbed for my backpack and my coffee and my phone. And they knocked it out of my hand, and so I was screaming. I was screaming, and I was afraid, you know, that they would hurt me. And next thing I know, they shoved me forward to the ground, and I was screaming loud. And they put me in a wrist lock. Both of the officers put me in a wrist lock and shoved me to the ground and forced me in the handcuffs. And then they got me back up by my arms. They both grabbed me by my arms, and they pulled me back up, and then they started searching my body underneath my coat and groping my private areas up under my coat, up under my jacket, up under my shirt, and grabbing on me. and in my pockets, things like that. And so I asked them, what were they looking, who were they looking for? I said, I'm 4'10", Native American woman. And I asked them, I said, well, you can't describe to me who you're looking for. And they didn't describe who they were looking for. They didn't read me my rights, my Amanda rights. And they proceeded to put me in a cop car. And then the witnesses came. And then when the witnesses came, the first one came. What they did was they grabbed me by the hood of my coat, by the back of my, the hood of my coat, and pulled me up in front of the witnesses. And I felt so demeaned and so humiliated and so embarrassed and so frightened and so scared. And so I asked them, I said, am I the one that you're looking for? And they said, no, I'm not. And so one of the witnesses left, and then the second witness came, and they did the same thing. And I asked them, I said, who are you looking for? Am I the same, I said, am I the one that you're looking for? Can you describe the person that you were looking for? And he said, yeah, that looks like you. You kind of looks like you, but it's not them. And then they left. And so they let me go, but they held me halfway in handcuffs. And I asked for a female police officer to come and search me. And he said, we don't have to. We're in charge. I said, isn't that my right to ask that? And he said, we're in charge. No, you don't have a right to you don't have any right like that. And so I said, well, I want a police report. I said, because I want to pursue this. And he said, you better not pursue this. You know, so we're going to take you downtown and book you. You know, that's what he said to me. Officer Baldwin said that to me. And then they told me to go home and take a hot bath and drink some hot chocolate and forget about it. And so that's exactly what happened towards the end. And then so then that's when I called other people to let them know what happened to me, because this has happened to other people in the community, and I didn't really know what else to do. So I called a friend of mine, you know, Keith Dalton, and he recorded what I just said to everyone here on the radio show and took it down to St. John's. They were having a meeting about the DOJ, and the FBI was down there, and he told them my story.
And were any charges filed against you by the police?
Later on, I was told by my attorney that they have filed interference with a police officer. That's what I just found out very recently. But they dropped it because they know they couldn't do anything. They were in the wrong.
Do you feel like you were racially profiled?
Definitely, because I'm a woman, and I'm a woman of color.
So you filed a complaint with the Internal Affairs Department in the police. What came of that?
They all got exonerated with no internal investigation.
And what about the Independent Police Review Commission?
They exonerated them as well. They said they were valid in stopping me and doing what they did.
So now you've decided to take the next step and file a lawsuit. Could you tell us a little bit about your lawsuit?
Yes, I filed pro se in the beginning, and now it's going to trial tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Are you asking for damages of any sort?
Yes, I'm asking for punitive damages, and they violated my constitutional rights.
And so what are the specific charges against the police?
failure to train, assault and battery, illegal search and seizure.
And which officers are involved?
Officer Gregory Baldwin, Officer Jordan Winkle, and those are the officers that arrested me that day and stopped me.
And what are you hoping will come out of this?
I'm hoping that the officers will get fired and I get compensation for what was done to me. And I just want justice for what happened to me and for all the injustices in this city that have been pushed up under the rug. That's why I'm fighting so hard, because I'm not just fighting for myself. I'm fighting for Aaron Campbell, Keaton Otis, Kendra James, James Chastity, and many others that don't have a voice right now.
Those all being people that died at the hands of the Portland police.
Yes.
Do you feel that there's a connection between the Department of Justice's finding that the Portland police use excessive force in certain situations and your situation?
Yes, I do. It happens a lot. They're covering up for each other. IA, Internal Affairs, the DOJ, the police chief, they're all in it together. And right, I believe after my CRC hearing, the former chief of police, he resigned, he retired.
Do you think that had something to do with your case?
I feel that it did, because he retired after this happened, you know. And he exonerated them. And he's part of my lawsuit, Chief Reese.
Are you asking for people to come out in support of your lawsuit against the Portland police?
Yes. To stand with me and the injustices in the city, if they're tired of